Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Alaska Airlines announces improvements to their frequent flyer program, and the good news continues. Southwest Airlines is increasing the strength of their Wi-Fi signal on the planes without it costing you any more money.
You know, Mark, over the course of 52 shows a year, we conducted over 100 interviews, travel experts, consumer advocates, even an occasional entertainer.
So picking through those interviews to figure out which ones really made you a smarter traveler was no easy task.
But we did find some great examples of making our listeners just a little bit smarter. Chris Elliott and Ed Perkins have all kinds of tips for us all year long. And at 3:15, we have some of their best ideas.
Remember when Amy Lewis and her husband Stuart told us about their trip to Moab, Utah? That was a fun interview, lots of laughs, and some good national park travel info. That's up at 3:35.
Then there was the hotel that offered dog adoptions in the most unique way.
That's the Westin in Southern California. That was a great story. We'll revisit it about 3:45.
And a man from Australia sent us a cool travel song and has allowed us to use it for our program. Marcus Mio is his name, and we're going to talk to him again at 3:50.
We've been here for a couple hours at the station working on this very special New Year's edition of the Travel Guys, and it starts right now.
Welcome, everyone. We are the Travel Guys here on KFBK. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Romano, Mark Hoffman to my left, and we're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Welcome to the Travel Guys. Mark, welcome back. I understand you've been on the road for quite a while. I've been on the road as well, and it's good to see you again. How was your New Year's?
It was good. I spent some more time in Las Vegas. I feel like I live in that town recently, and it's not my favorite place, so it's not a place that I like to live. I just have some very quick tips for people who might be going to or from Las Vegas. I left before New Year's Eve, which is...
good move.
Good move, yes. Because do you know what the leads... you know how we've been talking here about how they're charging for parking at the casinos and stuff now and how that's, you know, a little bit of a concern to folks. Do you know what the lead story was on the news for 2 days? Every station in Las Vegas where you could park for free still on the strip. Because at the end of the year, the local people had an exemption apparently from these new parking fees, and now they no longer have an exemption. So they're going to have to pay to park, too. And a lot of locals go out to the Strip, apparently, more on New Year's Eve than any other time.
Sure.
To see the fireworks and all that kind of jazz. So anyways, the parking, the whole parking thing, most, if you haven't picked up on it, most of the casinos are now charging for parking in Las Vegas where they did not previously. So you can park yourself or you can pay them to park it for a little bit more.
So with that being said, in those stories, what particular locations or, you know, kind of in general, were they recommending that people could still park for free?
There's only a very few. Treasure Island and the Tropicana and all the station casinos are the ones where you can still park. But my guess is that the free parking places that are on the Strip will quickly become paid because otherwise they're going to be just overwhelmed. So it won't work with it if now that some people have gotten in. So just when you go to Vegas, you're going to pay to park, no matter what it used to be. Consider staying off the Strip when you go to Las Vegas because there's a Marriott, there's a Renaissance, there's an Embassy Suites, there are lots of mid-range hotels. There's a nice Hilton Garden Inn down on the south end of the Strip. So you don't have to stay in a Strip hotel, and the rates are not that great anymore, and you're going to get hit for those resort fees that are ridiculous. So maybe it's time to start thinking a little bit outside the box. Also in Las Vegas, never take a taxi from the airport. Always take a ride share, Uber or Lyft. It's pretty easy to find in the different terminals. It will cost you less than half of what a taxi cab costs you. The only problem with taking Uber and Lyft once you're in Las Vegas is it's very hard to pick them up at the casinos because the taxi cabs have a spot and they don't.
Right.
So you have to be able to find each other, and that makes it a little more different. But from the airport and to the airport, always take an Uber because of the difference in the charges. And you know what's really funny? A couple of years ago, we told folks, when you go to Las Vegas, there's going to be a line for taxis most likely. It won't be unusual if you wait 30 or 45 minutes when you get in. It used to be there was lines of people waiting for taxis. Now there are lines of taxis waiting for people.
Wow. That's amazing.
There you go.
Well, I spent a week in San Antonio, Texas. Had an unusual flight there from Vegas into San Antonio. And we've talked a lot about on the plane about, you know, one time, oftentimes you'll you know, there'll be children on board, and there might even be somebody who, well, just ate the wrong food before they got on board and stunk the place up a bit.
Exactly.
You know, I got to try that method of blowing the air vent on your face to kind of blow it away. You know, it only works a little bit. And you know what? This is, I couldn't help, but I had to tape this.
Yeah.
This went on most of the flight.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
I think everybody recognizes the sound of wailing children in pain as their ears decompress or compress or whatever.
Oh, goodness.
I've been
the
looking forward.
The joys of holiday travel.
Yes, I've been looking forward for a week sharing that with our audience.
All right, well, let's get into the travel news here for today. Yesterday at Knott's Berry Farm, I don't know if you happened to see this, but they had a rescue. One of the sky cabins stalled at 148 feet above the ground, and the people were there for several hours, and it took them, it was 8 hours before they got them all down, and they had to lower some of them by rope with a firefighter.
They kind of bungeed them down or whatever that was.
You know, Knott's Berry Farm says, you know, the ride is out of service. Obviously now they say, you know, they check and inspect everything before the park opens every single day. So, and when was the last time that you heard about something like that happening at Disneyland or not? I can't remember the last time. Another airline is reducing capacity to Cuba. Silver Airways, which flies regionally in Florida, is reducing its flights to Cuba from 29 a week to 16. If you recall, American Airlines announced a couple weeks ago that it would reduce some of its new flights to Cuba due to soft demand. So already, it seems as though there wasn't that much open capacity in Cuba to start with. So there isn't that much room for Americans to go flocking down there. And the prices went up really, if you recall me talking about this, the prices went up rather dramatically. So Cuba, I think, if you're thinking about going to Cuba, I'm going to suggest to you, you missed your window. Wait a couple of years. President Obama has signed the BABES Act into law. That is the Bottles and Breastfeeding Equipment Screening Act, which will help breastfeeding mothers get through TSA security much easier. I'm not a breastfeeding mother, nor have I ever been one, nor will I be one. But if you have been or you're about to be, then this is probably very important to you. The TSA regulations have always allowed breast milk through, but not every TSA person has known that. So hopefully
I can understand that.
They've been given some better guidelines now that will help them help breastfeeding mothers get through security better. And the two stories that we had in the headlines at the top of the hour, Southwest Airlines is promising 3 times more bandwidth for in-flight Wi-Fi. Also, the oldest Southwest planes, which do not have Wi-Fi, there's still a few of them flying, and they happen to hang around Sacramento quite frequently.
I got one of those.
So those are going away. By the middle of next year, they will all be gone. And Southwest says they're increasing the bandwidth by at least triple. And the good news is that the price will remain the same as it has been at $8 a day. So that doesn't happen very often when somebody tells you they're going to give you 3 times the service for the same price. And some more good news in the sky. Alaska Airlines is upgrading their mileage program. They are joining with Virgin Airways here soon. Alaska says that award prices for flights less than 700 miles are being reduced from 7,500 to 5,000 miles. Think Seattle on Alaska Airlines would fit into that category. You get more miles when flying on some of their partners, plus mileage credit on more coach fares, elite upgrades for mileage plan members when flying on award tickets. So solid positive changes to an already good program. Alaska Airlines says that also all the other airlines have gone to dollars and miles. Alaska's still miles only and says, at least for now, that's what they're going to stay. So I would say to you that the most friendly airline program right now for the flyer is definitely with Alaska Airlines, and that's your travel news for today.
All right. And in fact, we're going to be talking a little bit about Alaska and some changes and mergers and so forth that they made earlier this year with Ed Perkins before the program comes to an end. We are the Travel Guys. By the way, you can follow along at travelguysradio.com. We're taking a look at all the great stuff that went on in 2016 right here on The Travel Guys as we continue on this fabulous Sunday, the first day of the new year. Well, we're on the road again. It's Mark and Tom, the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for joining us. We are here every Sunday from 3 to 4. Happy New Year to each and every one of you.
We've got kind of a special program for you today in that it is sort of a best of program, but instead of just playing some pre-recorded interviews while we were sitting at home, we thought we would come in and pick out some pieces of what we thought were the best, the things that made you a smarter traveler or just the best stories of the year. We have a couple of those towards the end. But to start off with smarter travelers, Chris Elliott and Ed Perkins are frequent guests on this program. Chris Elliott, of course, is a syndicated columnist. He appears in the Sacramento Bee every Sunday. He has a great website at elliott.org. We had him on to talk about some topics of the day, including are price guarantees really what they're cracked up to be? And why do people fake their way onto pre-boarding on airlines? We started out, though, with the price guarantees.
You know, you see these best rate guarantees that hotels and airlines have, and you think to yourself, well, I'm virtually assured that I'm going to get the best price possible.
Right.
And then when you go to actually collect, you realize that there are significant limitations. For example, a claim has to be made within 24 hours. You can't make a claim if you're less than 24 hours from, say, a hotel stay. And it has to also be in the same class of service. So it's got to be the same fare class. And you're a professional, so maybe you can explain fare classes.
No, I'm afraid
I can't. It doesn't necessarily mean economy class or business class. There are, you know, something like 16 fare classes per flight.
Uh-huh.
So all those things have to match up exactly.
And it's same thing with the hotel. If you've got a room, it's got to be a two-bedded room with the marina view. It's got to be exact apples to apples.
Mm-hmm.
And it, really the worst part of it is if you have some kind of a special discount code and you make a reservation, like, say, AAA, that doesn't count. They're not going to honor a price match on that. So it's got to be done with no other kind of discount or special offer. And that often foils people because they'll put in their AAA discount and then they'll think that they can get the hotel or the airline to match, usually the airline to match, the hotel, I should say, to match. So it can be extremely frustrating for travelers.
It sounds, Chris, like the best thing to do in those situations, if you find a price that is lower than what you're paying, is to try to get the price match guarantee before the fact, as opposed to after the fact.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's where a good travel agent can come in, because they can find really great deals sometimes that you wouldn't even be able to find online. But yes, find the best price before you make the reservation. Once you make the reservation, here's some really unconventional advice. Don't look back. Because you know what? Especially if you're dealing with an airfare, you're always going to find a lower fare at some point, and buyer's regret is going to set in. Don't let that happen. It's your vacation. Your time is more valuable.
Absolutely. And we've even broken down people's hours on vacation. Our good buddy Ed Perkins, who is joining us later on in the program, Ed talked about how you could break down, you know, your hours on vacation to decide what your hours are worth and whether or not taking the public transit, which is $10 cheaper than taking the taxi, was really a good deal to start with. Chris, one other thing I wanted to talk to you about today. You are gathering some information about what you call fakers. And I find this to be a fascinating topic. Tom, you may or may not have heard of the miracle flights, where people are wheeled onto airplanes in wheelchairs because there's no possible way that they could walk down the jetway. And then magically, when the plane lands on the other end, they don't seem to need a wheelchair.
Right. I've heard of that.
And you see them sometimes walking around the waiting areas before they get on the plane.
Instantly healed by the flight.
Chris, is it not a miracle? I mean, these are going on all over the country. I'm surprised that some of the more religious-based people haven't picked up on this.
It's amazing, yeah. They're actually called hallelujah flights, too, if you want to get religious about it. This is where people will demand a wheelchair, and you'll see them, probably a whole parade of wheelchairs going on the flight, usually to a warm weather destination. And then when the flight lands, miraculously, all of these people who had to be wheeled on will suddenly jump out of their seats and they are healed. They walk off the plane. In all seriousness, guys, there are people with real disabilities who need these seats. And the people who are gaming the system and saying that they need a wheelchair, they really, they've got to do an ethical gut check here, because they think this is a victimless crime. They are so wrong about that.
Well, and Chris, I travel with a lot of older folks. My demographic and my clientele is retired folks, seniors, mature travelers. And it's not uncommon for us to have three or four people who need a wheelchair to pre-board, and to have three or four or five or six other people who legitimately, you can tell by watching them walk down the jetway, that it's probably a good idea that they have a little bit of a head start on folks. So we're not talking about people here. As you mentioned, there are folks who legitimately need this service. And what happens in oftentimes, Chris, in secondary airports particularly, I'll show up with one of my groups or something, and I have a legitimate need for a couple of three assistance people. Well, these fakers have gotten on the other end. And so now the airline thinks that they need six or seven wheelchairs on arrival. But the reality is they don't. So they round up every single wheelchair runner in the entire secondary airport, and probably their relatives, and get them all to the gate so they've got enough wheelchairs so they don't break the ADA rules. And then they find out that they only needed two of those wheelchairs. So these folks are causing problems throughout the system by faking their way onto the airplane in order to get a little bit better seat. And I've noticed that this seems to prevail even more on Southwest flights, where people do not have assigned seating.
It's hard to say. There's actually, it happens more often on flights to warm weather destinations at this time of year for some reason. I don't even know why. But the more interesting question, and the one that I ask in this column, which hasn't come out yet, is why are people doing it? Of course, it's nice to have preferential treatment. You know, you get on the plane early. You get maybe the overhead bin space for your luggage. You get a little bit of extra special attention and service from the flight crew. But why are people asking for this? And this is also true, of course, for these hotel rooms that have a little extra space in them for people with disabilities, where you can get in and out of the shower. So why are people doing this? And I actually think that while there are some people who are just, they're entitled and they're jerks, they're going to do this, there actually are legitimate reasons because for trying to fake. And I'm not saying that this is an excuse by any stretch, but the travel industry, and this is true of airlines mostly, has taken space away from us consistently over the years, to the point where it's very uncomfortable for people to be flying in economy class. And so any chance that someone can have a little bit of preferential treatment, early boarding, access to the overhead bin, maybe a seat on the bulkhead that has a little bit more space, they're going to try to do that. So you see a lot of people feigning disabilities because they just want to be treated in a civil way. Again, not a good excuse, but that is the reason why they're doing it, I believe.
And then we asked Chris a little bit about travelers facing the big dilemma all the time. Who do you tip? How much do you tip? And in particular, Chris wrote an article for The Washington Post that talked about tipping in restaurants, and it set off somewhat of a firestorm among how much do you tip?
It's an ongoing issue, because this is something that travelers face all the time, is how much do I tip? Who gets the tip? Am I tipping enough? What if I don't tip enough? All those questions are so difficult to answer. And so what I wanted to do was just talk about how everyone seems to have a handout these days, and who should we be tipping? And when you ask questions like that, of course, the people who do have their hands out can become very upset, because they feel like they're entitled to a tip, which is what happened with the servers, who ended up getting very upset about the story that I wrote and emailed me all kinds of very nasty things. And that made me rethink my restaurant visits.
and understandably so. But Chris, what this kind of comes down to, I guess, is kind of an argument about whether the service should be included as part of the meal, or whether the current system of paying the servers a substandard wage and making the customers make up the difference is a better system. Is that
here's
kind
what it comes
of what
down
this
to, right? Well, here's what it comes down to for the consumer is you see a price on a menu, and would you pay that price? And anything above and beyond that, you can choose to pay more, but you shouldn't feel like you have to pay more than the sticker price on it, really on any consumer item at all. The servers And they do have a valid point. They contend that if you walk into a restaurant in the United States, that you should know that servers are not paid a living wage, and that your tips are the thing that are paying their salary, and that you should not even dare go into a restaurant unless you're prepared to pay at least a 20% tip. And I believe that actually that is incorrect. That is wrong. If a tip were mandatory, it should be included in the price of the meal, and that the problems that are going on in the back end, which is to say servers are not getting paid enough money, which is something that I readily acknowledge, is an issue that has to be worked out between Congress, the business, and the employee. It's not our problem. What's really going on here, there are a couple of things going on, but the real crime, I think, is that restaurant owners are allowed to give the menu items prices that are too low. And so they lure you in with a low price, and then they expect you to tip their staff 20 or 25%. And that's just wrong. You should be able to pay for an item that you buy anywhere. It should be the sticker price is what you pay, not anymore. Most of the story didn't even mention restaurants. It was about how everyone has their hands out now, where you go into a coffee shop and there's a tip jar there. Or you go into a laundromat, there's a tip jar. I even talked to someone where there was an optometrist office that had a tip jar. I mean, it just shows how horrible things are when your optometrist is asking for a tip.
So we went from Chris Elliott talking to us about tips and fakers on planes and stuff. Our other favorite consumer reporter was Ed Perkins. And when the FAA and Congress got together this summer, consumers got some good news on delayed baggage.
And the new bill says that if the airline doesn't get your baggage to you within 12 hours of arrival or 15 hours on an international flight, that the airline has to refund your baggage fee. Now, to me, that's great. I'm glad they did it. If ideally, the rule should apply, if they don't get your bag within an hour of the time you arrive, in other words, while you're still at the airport, then you should get your fee refunded. But come on, we take what we can get. And getting a refund 12 to 15 hours later is better than nothing.
You know, Tom, Alaska Airlines was in the news today. They are joining Virgin Airlines, and Ed has had some thoughts on that and also on a new family-friendly rule on the airlines.
Alaska Airlines has got such a great reputation for customer service and for being one of the best U.S. airlines.
Now, Alaska recently bought Virgin America Airlines, and something you and I were talking about before and about how that's all going to shake out, because while there are two airlines that are kind of known for better quality, a higher level of customer service, the product that they produce and how they produce it is very different.
Yes, and Virgin America has been somewhere in between Alaska and JetBlue. Now, by objective measures, JetBlue has the best product in the market, but people love Virgin's product. And I think Alaska would be very foolish to throw away that tremendous customer loyalty that Virgin America has acquired.
What else happened in this consumer bill besides the luggage thing?
Well, another very important consumer benefit is that when a family is traveling together, they no longer have to shell out seat assignment fees in order to be guaranteed the ability to sit together. That the children have to be seated with the parents. And, I mean, talk about a no-brainer. The airlines always whine about re-regulation when something like this comes up, but the fact remains that they must have had the world's greatest tin ear not to realize this was a problem and to do something about it before the government came in and said, you got to do something about it.
We are the Travel Guys, recapping some of the best of 2016, here to make you a smarter traveler. Visited Moab, Utah with Amy Lewis and her husband, Stuart. And we're going to give you a look back at that interview coming up after the news here on the Travel Guys.
If you ever plan to motor west.
You know, with all of the commercials for people to stop smoking and lose weight and all that kind of stuff.
that time of the year.
What was it you said? They must think that we have a lot of overweight fat people listening to our program.
Overweight smokers listening to the Travel Guys. I'm not a smoker, but no. The overweight part, you know, once I got past the pneumonia
thing. What was
your
New Year's resolution?
The most typical one of all. I cannot tell a lie. Mm-hmm. I need to get in better shape and lose some weight and spend more time outdoors.
Well, my resolution is to end the year weighing less than I started the year, which for 14 of the last 15 years has been okay.
Okay.
And sometimes it's only a pound, but it's just end less than you did the year before.
The both of us, number one, I should not get pneumonia again, and you should not pass out and hit your head.
Over. We didn't have that good of a year when you look back on it, did we? All right, let's see. We got to motor along here. You're listening to the Travel Guys. What we've done today is prepared a special program, a live program, sort of, kind of, because we're here live, and we just picked out what we thought. First, we had some spots where we were making you a smarter traveler, and that was from Ed Perkins and Chris Elliott.
And this time, you know, we're not the only ones that, bring you tips and information about places to go and things to do. We bring in some of our friends, family, and, co-workers, as Amy Lewis and her husband, Stuart, do a lot of traveling and came on board to help us out,
too. And when they came back from Utah, they were absolutely bubbling over.
Tell our listeners about Moab, you guys.
Tom Romano.
Yes.
Moab, Utah is 360 degrees of spectacular.
All right.
How's that?
You sound like the ad.
In a nutshell. So here's the deal. The great thing about having my husband do this with me is that he never does radio. Ever, ever, ever. So he's very, very nervous. Hi, Henny.
Hey.
Okay, so he and I went to Moab, and he and I went specifically to mountain bike through the amazing terrain of the Canyonlands and...
Dead Horse Point.
Dead Horse Point State Park. Mm-hmm. And we had a great time, right?
Absolutely fabulous. We did a 9-mile single track piece with a couple of guides.
Yeah, Rim Tours took us through. We had Steve Evers and Dave Bagley. They were very, very patient because we've mountain biked for a couple of years now, and Stuart's biked forever. But I've never done anything like that before, and it was so great.
Well, tell me, Stuart, I understand it was quite an adventure getting there. Tell me a little bit about from Sacramento to
really?
Utah.
Are you sure?
Well, okay, so you fly in. We flew into Salt Lake City.
Right.
And they said it's a 4-hour drive.
Yeah.
It is a 4-hour drive. And honestly, it's the hard part is 4 hours. As far as the roads to get there, it's basically four. Four highways, then you roll right into Moab. And
the speed limit on one of the highways was 80 miles an hour. We didn't do that, but it was a little intimidating. He's not telling the whole truth, though. We flew, and both of our flights were delayed. And then we had to wait a while to get our baggage. So we ended up getting to our nice little Best Western's Canyonlands motel room at midnight. And we were supposed to go biking the next morning. So we called the Rim Tours and said, gee, we're not going to be able to do that. Can we do it later in the day? No problem at all. And then we started our tour at about 1 o'clock. But Tom, I swear to you, you've got to go see Moab. The scenery is incredible. The arches, delicate arch.
The Red Rock Canyons.
Oh, yeah.
It is the Grand Canyon on a smaller scale. But, you know, the Colorado River's running through, and you're just overlooking 500, 600, 700 feet down.
Yeah.
And the colors are amazing.
One view that we had, we approached this cliff. I swear to you, it's a cliff. And our guide said, okay, we got off our bikes, and he said, now you have to get down on your hands and knees and crawl to the edge of this cliff. And we actually shimmied close to it and put our heads over the edge of the cliff 1,000 feet down.
Oh, my gosh.
And Stuart was like, okay, that's enough. Not for me. I'm going to back away. So I scared him to death because then...
Oh, then she kind of shimmied around and just hung her feet over and just sitting on the edge like she's on a park bench.
You did.
And then she says, here, take a picture. And so, you know, we did that. And
it's actually on my page. You can go to kfbk.com on Amy's View.
Clearly, you don't have a fear of heights.
You know what? I don't. But I'll tell you, for the next 2 nights, I had nightmares about that. Like one good breeze would have just toppled me right over.
Oh, my
gosh. One of the things I noticed, though, everybody was we've toured some other places, yeah. but everybody was fabulously nice.
They really were.
What do you need? Extra? Can we do this?
They smiled at
the restaurants.
At you.
At the restaurants, the waitresses or waiters, and some of the things we noticed were the prices.
Yeah, let me tell you. So we went to the Moab Diner for our first breakfast.
Okay.
Okay. So Stuart always has this. He has two eggs over easy, four pieces of toast, and bacon. I always have coffee because it's first thing in the morning. So we got the check from the waitress, and it was $12.72. So I said to her, okay, the exact same meal in downtown Paris, $80.
Oh, my gosh. Now, for our listeners that might be thinking of taking this adventure, what would you recommend as to how they go about approaching a trip to Moab?
You know what? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, the season is basically March to November.
Okay.
It's a major Jeep off-road location
for years. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's now a mountain biking mecca. It's a road biking mecca. It's a hiking
Enchanted land.
It's mm-hmm. the place to be.
Yeah.
And you see that when you get there. They're talking about Main Street, traffic jams, which for us are not.
Yeah.
For them, it's 30 seconds to turn left on a light. but to go to plan, if you're an enthusiast with any of those types of desires, honestly, flying into Salt Lake and taking the drive to see other parts of the country, which are gorgeous.
And you can do the tours anyway, but not just, if you're not a hiker, you're not a biker, you're not a runner, you can take pictures. It is a photographer's dream. So, you can just drive your car through the arches and through the canyonlands and pull off the side of the road, and you've got an incredible shot.
So you don't necessarily need a tour guide?
No.
Not at all.
Like, not at all.
Many people come with their racks of bikes and all their gear. We saw cars that were filled to the gunnels or the walls, with all their gear.
Yeah.
They just get out and they go.
Yeah.
The thing I enjoy most about being on the air with Amy and Stuart is their enthusiasm and, it's the husband-wife kind of thing just comes through.
If you see Amy in the hallway next
yes.
week, just please tell her that I thought that was the best interview we had all year. Their enthusiasm and the way they described where they went and what they did, and they could be a comedy team together. I thought that
I
was
agree.
Wonderful. All right, we got a couple more for you here as we roll through what we thought were some of the best parts of 2016 here on the Travel Guys. We found a hotel that adopted dogs. And, it's a great, great, great story. It's a Westin Hotel in Southern California. So let me let you meet the dog adoption folks at the Westin Hotel. Laura Hunt Little is the marketing manager for the Westin Hotel in Palm Desert, am I right?
Yes. Hi, how are you today?
Welcome to the Travel Guys. Laura, you and your hotel have something that has caught our eye here. It is a wonderful program, a dog adoption program. Tell
yes.
us a little bit about how a hotel got into the dog adoption business.
Well, we have a wonderful community here in Rancho Mirage. It's a very dog-friendly city in the first place. And not far from us, there is an animal shelter called Animal Samaritans. They are a no-kill shelter, and they're neighbors of ours. And I don't remember the exact details of how our general manager got involved with them, but he was talking to their executive director and said, hey, if we had a dog hosted in our lobby, we could introduce that dog to guests and let them know that the dog is available for adoption. Well, I thought that this was a fantastic idea. So last May of 2015, they tested it out, had our first dog here, and the whole idea is to give the dog the opportunity to meet people and give people the opportunity to meet the dogs and see if there's, a possibility in finding a match.
Sounds like a date
ago.
I went on one time, a long time ago. Yeah. Okay, go ahead here. Yeah, we got the dogs.
Nice.
Our dogs are making it to the lobby.
We got the dogs. We've got the nonprofit organization. So then we put the infrastructure in place. There's a wonderful network of volunteers. They're staff members, but they volunteer their time as dog Samaritans. It's our dog Samaritan team, and to make sure that the dog has everything that it needs, and the food and water, and it gets walked, and and all of the things that the dog needs are there. We even have, and this is great stuff, we're a dog-friendly hotel. So it fits in our whole brand DNA to have a dog here. But we have the heavenly bed, you know, for our guests. Well, mm-hmm. dogs have a heavenly dog bed when they come and stay here. So our hosted dog in the lobby sleeps on the heavenly dog bed.
Do I see something that you guys have also as part of your dog-friendly program there at the Westin in Palm Desert, a yappy hour?
We do have a yappy hour. We have it's a chance for folks to bring their dogs and visit on the porch. It's a once a week program. We are having actually a really big event at the end of the summer. We are almost at 50 dogs. Okay, so let me go back. We're in May of 2015. We start this thing up. We're like, well, is this going to work? We don't really know. It was untested. And, you know, people have been so excited about this. We have guests that just love to visit the dogs. We've had almost 50 adopted. So what we decided to do was to celebrate the milestone of adopting 50 dogs, and we're almost there.
50 dogs?
50 dogs, and with the target of this coinciding with National Dog Day, which is at the end of August. And so we're throwing a big yappy hour party that day. It will also be a reunion inviting the dogs who've been adopted through our program to come back and have the owners get to know each other. And because, you know, the dogs are here one at a time, so the dogs haven't met each other before. But all of these owners have a common experience where they've gone home from the Westin with a new family member.
I have to stop and ask now, are the majority of the dogs adopted by people that are there vacationing, or do you have a lot of locals that that come in and participate and maybe adopt?
It's a mix. We have about a third of the dogs have gone to homes locally, about a third in the drive range area. So by that I mean our drive market is Los Angeles and San Diego and Orange County. There's cities on the coast that can drive here easily. And then the final third are far away. We've had dogs go home to Canada. We've had a dog who is in New York City now with a fashion blogger writer who was visiting us. And, oh, this dog is great. He stars on her fashion blog in dressed up outfits, and she's made his own Instagram account. And wow. His dog is famous.
Before you go, Laura, was there a dog maybe who kind of captured your heart, perhaps?
Oh, and there was a little dog. Her name was Cherish, and I just fell in love with this little girl, and I wanted to adopt her so much. And we have a senior dog at home who is definitely the alpha dog, and I just couldn't bring a new little energetic doggy home, but I just was keeping an eye on her, and I loved her, and I loved her. I couldn't wait to see somebody adopt her because I knew she needed to go to an amazing home. So this little doggy was visiting with another family, and all of a sudden she walks herself across the lobby and sits down on the feet of a beautiful woman who was checking her parents into the hotel. This woman's name is Teresa, and Teresa looked down, and Cherish looked up at her, and they just had a complete connection. And
love at first sight.
Love at first sight, but the crazy thing is, Teresa was checking in her parents because her husband had just recently passed away, and they were there for the funeral services. And Cherish, for whatever reason, knew that she needed to go to this lady, and she adopted the dog, and she has four kids. And the kids and Teresa and the dog have all been healing all together. And it's just was an amazing, heart-wrenching story. And it was, you know, at this time in her life when she was like, I wasn't looking for a dog, but this dog found her and just helped them to heal. Isn't that crazy?
It certainly is. And we are the Travel Guys. Great story.
Aww.
Yeah. All right. Coming
Your
up
moment
after,
of awe.
Coming up after the break, we're going to go all the way to the other side of the world, to Australia, and meet up with Marcus Mio and one of the songs we play on the Travel Guys. That's next. Can I use my movie trailer voice to introduce?
Right.
And now, daring drivers of the Travel Guys radio show. We are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And, well, let's see. We're getting near the end of our show of the new year.
We got one more here. Yes. We were trying to recount some of the ways we made people a smarter traveler. And then we got the cute little story from the Westin the Dog Show. And now we have just kind of a fun story. An entertainer from Australia checked in with us at the middle in the middle of the year.
Found us at travelguysradio.com.
He did, as many people have, and where you can go to find out anything about the show, and you can also listen to the podcast or sign up to have them sent to you. And, well, Marcus Mio got in touch with us, and a new Travel Guys song was sort of born.
About a week and a half or so ago, I got a note from a gentleman named Marcus Mio. Marcus is in Australia. He is originally from Scotland. He is a self-taught guitarist at age 15, and he does some pretty cool music. He says that he was influenced and introduced to many different artists such as Neil Diamond, Cat Stevens, Jim Croce, Roy Orbison, Phil Collins, The Eagles, Van Morrison. So that gives you a little bit of an idea of what his music sounds like, and we may give you another idea of what his music sounds like pretty soon. But welcome to the Travel Guys, all the way from the land down under, Marcus Mio. Welcome.
Hello. Hello, Mark. Good to talk to you over there.
I'm not sure if you sound Australian or you sound Scottish.
Oh, no, definitely Australian. Yeah, I was only very young when I came over to Australia from Scotland, so it should sound Australian.
Marcus, you have sent me a new song. Is this a song that you have written?
Yes, that's right. Travel is a song. I had a few lyric ideas written down a few years back, and it's had a few rewrites on it. And the inspiration does come from travel experiences. Been over to Thailand and a lot of road trips with my partner. So I absolutely do love to travel, and I think that's and I wanted to write a song that's got meaning to it and can connect to people. Yeah.
Have you been a songwriter all your life?
Yeah, pretty much from the age of 15. When I picked up the guitar, I just started writing songs. I've had a lot of bad songs. From there, and then just did, improved along the way, I guess. I think my songwriting's getting a lot better, and I'm hoping to really relate and connect to people through my songwriting these days.
Marcus, have you released any other songs yet? Is this one of your first attempts?
There was a song I have released a few others. There was a song I released last year. And it was called One More Day, and that was written about the loss of my father, died very young. It was a very sad and slow song, so this one and some of the songs to come in the future are going to be a bit more up-tempo and a lot more sort of happier sort of songs.
Well, yeah. let's come back and talk about this in just a moment, but let's give our listeners an opportunity to hear a little bit of Travel by Marcus Mio.
You can travel by road, you can fly by plane, you can take a ride on this one and only train. We can travel, you and me, over land and sea. We'll get to see the sunrise. You can travel by road, you can fly. You can take a ride on this one and only trip. We can travel, you.
So I like that song, as I've already stated a couple
it
times.
It really grows on
you. I just like it. I think it's really cool that somebody from the other side of the planet found our little travel show and allowed us to use their song. I think that's in the true spirit of international travelers. So
there you go.
Kind of cool. It's been a true pleasure. It's a start of a year. It doesn't feel like the finish of a year, but nonetheless, it's been a pleasure sitting next to you here on the radio program.
Thank you, Mark, and thank you for the opportunity to know the travel guy. You know, a lot of people say, well, Tom, how much traveling do you do? And I go, well, not a lot. So, well, why are you on the Travel Guys radio show? And I go, because I know the travel guy, Mark Hoffman with Sports Leisure Vacations. Folks, have a wonderful week. Be listening for Mark's travel tip on KFVK this week. And we'll see you next Sunday, same time, 3:00, and we'll do it all again. You stay well. Have a great week.
Thank you, folks. See you next Sunday.